Hey, you're listening to The Morning Show with Erin on the line. I've got Lani Purere. Good morning.
Good morning, Erin. How are you this morning?
I'm doing pretty good. Good. Now, we talk with Lani about sophrology every few weeks, and my first question of always is always, for the people who don't understand or know what the word is, what is sophrology? What does it mean?
Well, so sophrology is happiness training for people who just want a quick reference. But the official definition of sophrology is that it's the study of conscious harmony of the mind-body connection. So all of the bits that are you, mind, body, spirit, breath, and consciousness, when those are aligned and in harmony, then we're happy.
Okay. I like how over the series of interviews we've done, you've coming out with varied and probably more concise definitions.
Right. Yeah. Trying to focus it down and just create a space for more relatable, I guess.
I mean,
everybody wants to be happy. So as far as, you know, when we talk about happiness training, what we're talking about is rewiring or retraining your brain to produce levels of serotonin and dopamine. Those are the happy hormones.
Right.
And so in the space of, we use breathing movements, gentle movement, and visualization in a state of meditation. And the goal is to rest the nervous system and relax in a space of positive potential. Because a lot of times we think we're relaxing, but our brain is on high worry mode. And so we're still not relaxing. So as we train the brain in a state of meditation, it rewires and then helps the body to produce higher levels of serotonin and dopamine so that we can be happy.
That sounds nice. So today you wanted to talk about, you're calling it the three pillars of health. What are the three pillars of health?
The three pillars of health are nutrition, exercise, and sleep. And when those things are balanced and aligned, then we're supporting a healthy brain. So if you think of the brain as like your motherboard or the engine of this human body that is actually a machine. And if you imagine the brain sitting on top of three pillars, and if any of those pillars are misaligned or don't have a proper foundation, you know, then our brain's not balanced and it starts to fall over, right? Mm. So if you can imagine in your mind that scenario of the brain sitting on top of three pillars, if you have nutrition, exercise, and sleep, and all of those three things are very important, and we generally just are not paying attention to them. We're going about in a very subconscious existence day after day, just, you know, surviving, going through our day.
Yeah. So, Lani, those three pillars that you've listed, they sound like things that we typically would say, oh, those are important for our physical health. You're saying it's important mm-hmm. for brain health.
Yes,
I guess that's the same thing really, though, isn't it?
It's actually, so nutrition, exercise, and sleep are actually, they're going to be helpful for all of your health. So your physical health, your mental health, your spiritual well-being, all of that. Because there's lots of reasons. And all three of these, nutrition, exercise, and sleep, deserve their own conversation.
Yeah, of course.
But we're just sort of putting them all together today. To talk about the benefit that they can be to the brain when they're all balanced and when we're actually paying attention. We, you know, a lot of times we don't even pay attention most of the time. You know, you probably get to the end of your day and you're like, what did I even eat today? And was it actually helpful for my well-being?
Yeah. And yeah, that can happen. I could see that happening.
Mm,
yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So we can talk about all three of them one at a time if you'd like, or you can just ask me questions and then we'll go from there.
Well, actually, I did have a question that was, you talked about if the three pillars aren't being looked after or attended to, then our brain health declines. But what form does that take when our brain health declines? Or is it, what forms? Is that a better way of putting it?
So there's a lot of things going on in each of the areas of nutrition, sleep, and exercise that have an effect on the brain. Like, for example, the food and the beverages that we take into our bodies. You think about them right now. You think about some of the substances, alcohol, drugs, caffeine, these things will alter the state of your nervous system, or they'll actually have the chemicals that come into your body will have a response in the brain, which then the brain can determine what type of hormones and what type of messages it should send out to the body. And then the body will respond. Nothing is working by itself in the body. Yeah. Everything is connected.
Yeah. So the, where am I going with this? I sort of had a question and you sort of answered it, but it's just like, when the brain's not working, it just feels like there's all sorts of things mm-hmm. that are going to go awry, and the list could be endless. But you're sort of saying it might depend on whether sleep is the issue or nutrition is the issue, or, you know, what was the third pillar? Remind me.
Exercise, movement.
It could be really varied, couldn't it? I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you think about food, do you eat food for entertainment, comfort, or medicine, or because you just know you need to eat?
The primary thing is it's all about the taste, isn't it?
Well, it can be about taste. You would eat a certain thing based on, do you love it? So you can actually, you know, think about foods that you like, and then you can decide, you know, before you start to decide that you're going to eat that food, you can say, I love this food. Does this food love me back? So I'm going to eat this thing, like this dessert that's full of sugar.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is it going to love my body back? Is it going to treat me in the way that I need to be treated right now? Or this beverage or whatever.
So we should have it just as normal part of our thinking that it's also medicine.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what food is.
And it could
food
be good medicine. It can be good medicine or it can be bad medicine.
Right. Yep. You can be giving your body the medicine that it needs, or you can be poisoning your body with what you're putting in it based on food and beverage.
So there's an interesting thing that happens when we start talking about food and health and eating things that are good for you. I'll give an example. There's a YouTuber called Mr. Beast who older listeners won't have heard of and younger listeners will know well, but he's making a chocolate bar, and he was determined to try and make it a healthy chocolate bar. Mm-hmm. But what he's found is that it doesn't work to advertise it as being healthy. It actually sells less if he advertises it as being healthy than if he advertises it as being just yummy, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a bit of a problem here, Lani, I feel.
Right. So because you think about the purpose of why you would eat a chocolate bar or a dessert or something like that.
Well, true.
And some, you know, what's the emotion associated with that? What's the emotion that's driving you to eat a certain thing or to even sleep or exercise? What emotions, what energy are you putting forth into the thing that you're doing to your body? In regards to a healthy chocolate bar,
yeah.
Why do you eat chocolate? Why, you know, we're eating that chocolate because maybe we want some comfort.
Yeah.
You know, we just want some pleasure. And in our minds, healthy means not comfortable and not pleasurable.
Well, yeah, that's like that, but that's a real challenge, isn't it? Like, healthy is not nice.
Yes, which is why we need to rewire our brains and get our brains into a space of what you know. It healthy can be a nice thought, but it's all about what you're telling yourself. You know, if I focus on this as wrong, if I focus on healthy as being wrong, then it's always going to be wrong, right? But if I focus on healthy being helpful and happy for me, then your body will change, your mind will change, your responses will change.
Your expectations, yeah. I think part of what's gone wrong is all that stuff that tastes yummy and we get a hit of pleasure or whatever when we eat it. Also seems to be uniformly made with food materials that are bad for us. But in actual fact, a lot of that stuff can be made with healthy base materials. It's just that it's cheaper not to do it that way. Mm-hmm. It's cheaper to make it with rubbish.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think. Like, we're lucky in Raglan. We've got Emma Galloway, who's written 3 cookbooks, and her cookbooks are full of healthy food. So if you're into making your own food, I'd recommend those as a place to start, because as you might remember, I don't eat refined flour or sugar because I notice the effect it has on me. But with her books, we've been able to find things that I can eat, and there's more sweet stuff I can eat, so that's quite nice. But it all does require, you know, you do have to spend a bit more. You do have to make your own food. You can probably buy healthy, really healthy stuff, but that's also really expensive. I know I'm bringing up roadblocks, Lani. I know that.
Again, what we're talking about here is your health and well-being. We're talking about the pillars of health, right? We want to have, if we want a healthy brain, if we want a healthy body, then what are we willing to do for it? Yeah. And when you know, it's all based on your values, your value system. If I value my health and well-being, I'm going to find a way to pay for this thing. You know, we find a way to pay for things that are essential and important to us.
Yeah.
To a point. And so, If our health, I mean, you find a way, you know, you recognize the need for healthy ingredients and healthy food and you'll find a way.
It made a very noticeable difference. It was really clear, the difference. Mm-hmm. So that made it quite easy. But I'm intrigued by you're talking about to do with our values and if we value our health. So the implication of that is that there's a lot of us don't really value our health. Like that's actually a problem.
It is. It's a huge problem because you're not, you know, you just drag yourself through the day when you're not aware of your sleep patterns. I mean, what's going on while you're sleeping is that your body is taking the things that you experience throughout the day and filtering them and adjusting them and putting them into memories for learning and emotional well-being. And then your tissues and your muscles and your cells are repairing while you're sleeping. And so if we value our healthy body, then we want to get appropriate amounts of sleep. And that includes teenagers who don't think they need any sleep.
But actually need more, don't they? Because their brains are very busy developing.
Yes, they do. And it's actually been scientifically researched and proven that for us to be in bed by 9 o'clock at night, every human should be asleep by 9 o'clock because of the hormones that are producing in our bodies between 9 and 11 at night. Mm. And so then this is all about, you know, when I say that to you, then, and when other people hear me say that, they're like, well, I'm a night person. I like being up late at night. Well, if you value your health, you'll learn how to adjust the routine of your body. You'll learn how to retrain your brain and program your body so that you can go to sleep by 9 o'clock at night and wake up in the morning and make good use of your morning hours.
I know this probably isn't what you intended us to talk about, but I'm an interesting example because I got the food thing. I do that pretty well, but the sleep thing I'm terrible at. Like 9 o'clock at night is when I'm just settling into. I think that feels like free time after that. Like all the responsibilities of the world can be shed at that point. And whatever and all that pressure's off, and I can just relax and do whatever I like. But I need to have an hour or two of doing whatever I like before I go to bed to feel good about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably reasonably common, and I don't. Yeah, I
it
guess
it is very common.
Yeah,
it's really common. So if 9 o'clock's too early, 10 o'clock is fine.
Okay. Yep.
Anything after 10 o'clock is too late. There's a hormone called HGH, or the human growth hormone, that produces in your body, and it produces between 9 and 11. And 90% of this hormone is producing in your body. So it's developing, or it's building and strengthening your immune system.
Okay.
And that's a lot of reasons why you would have a weak immune system is if you have low levels of HGH in your body.
Yeah.
So if you value your health and a strong immune system, you can have an hour of which is what I, so I, my, what I've done is adjust my sleeping routine so that I am in bed by 9 o'clock. I'm in bed by 8:30. I'm asleep by 9, and I wake up at 4:30 and I'm out of bed by 5. So I have between 5 and 7 in the morning. Those are my 2 hours of, this is just me. This is all about me. The world's still asleep. My curtains are closed. It's dark outside. And I have that 2 hours all to myself.
And are you, so I imagine, well, I know that if I did that tomorrow that I would feel pretty wasted during that time because I'm not adjusted to it. I presume you're fully adjusted to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes a while. Yeah, you're developing a new routine for your body. And so what you can do is, it's all about readjusting, retraining your brain again. There's different things that you can do that are really beneficial to help you to adjust your sleep patterns and develop a new routine that's more healthy for your body and your brain.
Well, okay, give us some of those. Give us some help, Lani.
So one of them is to, when you wake up in the morning and the sun comes out, you go outside and you spend 10 minutes outside in the light of day. Because the light of day actually triggers the production of melatonin. And melatonin is a hormone in your body that helps you sleep. And the more melatonin you have in your body, the better night's sleep you'll get. So, and it takes 12 hours to produce the amount of melatonin you need in order to get a good night's rest.
Okay.
And so when you go outside at daylight, at sunrise, and you enjoy 10 minutes of daylight, outside, out away from shade. So, you know, not just going out and standing on your porch, but actually going out on the grass.
Yeah.
And that starts the production of melatonin in your body. And you'll start to realize that by 8 o'clock at night, you're starting to feel tired. Your melatonin is kicking in. It's getting darker when it gets darker outside and when the sun goes down. It's actually another response of the body to say the circadian rhythms in your body to recognize, oh, it's getting darker. It's time for me to sleep.
So I developed this habit for this job because I didn't think I was a morning person, which I know you want to argue with, but we'll put that aside. I knew I need to be wide awake when I get on the air. And so I decided I would always walk in or I'll ride a bike in. Unless it's absolutely pouring with rain, then I might take a car. And I do notice, like, on the weekends, I can get up much later and still feel tired all morning. Whereas is not what happens to me when I come and do my show. And I thought it was part of it was just I'm playing music and doing all sorts of stuff and interacting with people. But from what you're saying, it's also to do with the fact that I've actually been out, like, in the light, basically.
Right. So you've been out in the light. Your body is now accustomed to the daylight. The other thing that just happened is you've had some exercise, which is the third pillar of health.
Okay.
And exercise, movement creates energy and motion in the body. It also generates endorphins, which promotes happiness, which helps you to engage with those interviews that you're having or to be more happy and alive on the air. And so exercising and movement of the body, you're actually moving all of your body systems and your body systems are coming alive and your brain is coming alive. And now you're ready to, you know, jump on the air and be alive and excited for all of us that are listening.
I hope I sound reasonably excited. I'm not that excitable. So let's just talk about you. Cause I know that you had a stressful period in your life and some problems with your health, and this is what you found sophrology and it's become a big focus in your life. So at that point, I guess that's when you have motivation to make these changes. That's kind of a truism as well, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you get to a point where you're struggling with daily living and your choice is I can lay here and be really miserable and depressed on my bed, or I can actually get up and do something about it. It's up to you. There's no one else. There's no one else to blame but yourself if you're not engaging with life in a healthy way. And so really it's about how much do you actually love yourself and how far are you willing to go to get out of the burnout or to feel more happy and alive or to engage with other people. I personally am a really introverted person. I could be at home by myself and be happy forever. Like when we were in lockdowns, that was heaven for me. But I recognize the importance for going out and engaging with other people. It's really important for, again, we'll point back to a hormone, oxytocin, and social engagement and reaching out to others is really important for us, not only to develop the oxytocin, but also for the exchange of oxygen and other endorphins in our bodies. So I recognize the need for that. So I actually have to do an emotional buildup and tell myself I have the courage to go out and engage with other people. And it's not easy, you know, but it's something that I recognize is important for me and also helpful to other people when I can be of service and connect, you know, with other people and share my manaakitanga with others, you know, it's helpful. So I have to override some of the things that are more habitual and comforting for me because it's helpful to my well-being.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of this time we talk about chronic health issues with you, and we've just been talking about sleep and the issues that causes in the day. But what about long term? What is this causing problems for our brain health or our physical health?
If we go back and look at the three pillars of health, and we look at the nutrition, sleep, and exercise, and as I said at the beginning of our discussion, if you take an image in your mind and you create three pillars, and your brain is sitting on top of those pillars, are the pillars balanced? Are they healthy? Are they strong? Is the foundation strong enough to give you healthy brain function? Because your brain is the motherboard of your body. If your brain is not in a healthy functioning way, then you're going to struggle with emotional resilience, with chronic illness, with social engagement with other people. It's really all about healthy brain function. And as I said, it goes hand in hand. If your body is not healthy, your brain won't be healthy.
What about, you're talking about the three pillars, like nutrition, sleep, exercise. I got that right?
Yep.
Yeah. So what about emotional stuff? Like, how does that fit in? Because you do talk about setting emotions in order to focus on these things.
Yep. So nutrition in regards to emotions, your 90% of your serotonin, which is your happy hormone, is produced in your gut. So if you don't have a healthy microbiome in your gut, your body is going to struggle to produce serotonin, which means you're going to be prone to depression and low mood levels. As far as emotion in regards to sleep, there's a stage of sleep where you're actually filtering through your emotions, and your mind and your body are working together to filter your memories and put them in and store them into your brain in a way that is most beneficial for you. And then exercise, the endorphins that are produced when you're walking or moving. And it doesn't have to be big movement. Like, you can actually do indoor movement, gentle movement of the body. We teach a lot of that in sophrology, walking around, doing some different body movements. There's things we can do. Those things will produce endorphins, which create happiness and help you to generate more positive emotion in your life.
Okay, so you don't have to be going hard out. It can be just a walk, like you walk around the shops, or do you need to be a little bit more intent? No, okay. All right.
Yeah, because you're still walking, and when you're walking, when you decide to just go into town and just walk around the shops, you're moving, you're outside, you're engaging with other people, even if you're just smiling at a person as you walk by or having a quick chat with the clerk, the checkout person at the cash register. Like, these little things, even the small and simple things, are really beneficial. It doesn't have to be over the top.
Okay, all right. And I know I just interrupted you. You were about to do a sum up about the three pillars. Do you remember where you were going with that?
I was just going to say that the three, so as far as emotions, even though it doesn't sound like it's part of the emotion, the well-being of the brain, if you think about nutrition and how it affects your body and your emotions, you think about sleep and how it balances your emotions, and exercise and the endorphins, like all three of them have some direct relation to the emotional well-being, your spiritual and your emotional well-being.
Mm. So did I divert from where you wanted the, where you thought we were going to, what we were going to talk about, or did it kind of cover it anyway?
No, we definitely covered it. I mean, it's a really quick snapshot of your overall well-being, right? The three pillars of health, how it supports the brain. We have 11 systems in our body. I teach a course called Power Up for Change, which helps you, first of all, to reset your values and your love for your body and your purpose for your existence. And then we do a deep dive into all of the 11 systems of your body so that you can build a relationship with them, developing a friendship as if, you know, your body systems are your friend and not your enemy. And that's how we develop, that's how we change the brain and how we adjust things so that you can think more peacefully about this vessel that houses your spirit and your emotions and what you can do in order to engage with the world around you.
That actually sounds like something that answers the questions I had. Like, I kept coming up with the, what about this? What about the fact that we don't do this, or that we're resistant to this? And I, you know, I look around and I see lots of people who, you know, they've got their internal beliefs about themselves that they're not worth taking care of and things like that. So that actually sounds like an important thing to do before you move into any of these other things that you're talking about.
Yeah. And that's what I do. So like my program, it's a 12-week program, and we start, the first 3 weeks of the program are actually the hardest, because it's a deep dive into you discovering yourself, setting up your values, and identifying your hopes and dreams. It's really interesting when people actually devote themselves to that, how hard that really is. But I help them. Yeah. That's my job, is to coach you through that and to help you. So then we reset you and get you into a space of hope and encouragement and love for yourself. And then we go through the 11 body systems, and it's really an amazing journey. People who've done it are just, you know, they didn't realize that they could actually love themselves as much as they do.
Yeah. Well, that sounds brilliant, Lani. I'm out of time now, but I feel like we're at a wrapping up point anyway. Do you just want to give us a way people can find you online if they want to follow that up?
Yeah. So my business is called Sophro Solus, which is S-O-P-H-R-O, Sophro Solus, S-O-L-A-C-E. So Sophro Solus is my, where you can find me on social media, and then SophroSolus.com. Or you can just email me, SophroSolus@gmail.com, and we'll do a quick free consultation, and we'll talk about what your needs are and see how we can make the program work for you.
Cool. All right, Lani, thank you for your time this morning, and we'll talk to you again in about 4 weeks.